T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Men are idiots, and idiots do stupid things.
Howard Simon.
Oh, what a loser!
Jeremy White.
He's an idiot. Don't listen to this. He's an idiot.
On WGR.
I really didn't think you could lower the bar at your station.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Happy Wednesday. We're talking about the Bills, of course. 803-0550 to join us. We're going to talk a little bit more and get an overall view of what came out of week one in the National Football League in a moment with Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. You can always join us, too, at 803-0550. How good will the defense be this year? Top five? Top ten? It's number one now, for what it's worth, after week one. If there is a question on that side of the ball, where is it? Good luck finding one. I think the only one would have been cornerback opposite of Trey White. Levi Wallace was okay in game one. Everywhere else, they look solid. Front to back. So we've been talking a little bit about that. Anything else on your mind, you can always share your opinion. Bring in a comment, question at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. I mentioned wanted to get more of a national view on what happened in week one around the National Football League. We're going to our Western Hotline, and we're joined by Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. Dan, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Thanks for having me on, guys. How are you?
We're good. You were in Cleveland, which I'd love to get to in a second because I think that was one of the more fascinating stories on Sunday. But from our perspective here, Dan, real quick, your thoughts on the Bills going into the 2019 season. What are your expectations from the team here? Let's start there.
Well, I think that, you know, after New England, the division is wide open for them. Obviously Miami's not very good and just beat the Jets. So I think that's a big thing. How Josh Allen continues to develop, you know, kind of a growth season. I don't think, you know, I think it's fair to say that probably not winning the division, particularly if Antonio Brown actually does play. Yep. But, you know, is there enough wins there and opportunity to get to, you know, 9-7 and grab a wild card spot or not? And how's that offense keep going? It's certainly an interesting team to watch and, you know, and see what happens. That opening week was big. I thought that was a really kind of a ladder game for those two franchises.
You know, if we were talking about the Patriots earlier, with Antonio Brown, even maybe without Antonio Brown, they come out, they beat up on Pittsburgh pretty good. And if you look at their schedule, they should be, what was it, like either 7-0 or 8-0, possibly, if they beat Cleveland at the back end. They could be 8-0 going into a game in Baltimore, I think it was, in early November, before their first real huge test.
Yeah, I mean, look, they've made four straight Super Bowls. They won three of them. And
you don't have to remind us. We're aware of it, you know.
I was texting with a guy, and I just said, boy, Patriots look really good this year.
This just
and, you know, it just was so such a performance against Pittsburgh. And then, you know, look, Antonio Brown, who knows at this point. But if you're adding that weapon, it's a different ball game. With New England, so then it's, you know, New England's just sort of in its own spot. You know, can Kansas City beat them or something in an AFC Championship game is about all you're really down to. You know, there's a lot of football to be played and a lot can happen. But certainly as week ones go, you know, they were 2-2 last September. They lost to Detroit in Detroit and scored 10 points. There's a lot of times New England doesn't look good early, and I always. I kind of joke September is like their preseason. They've always been able to roll through the AFC East so easily that there hasn't been a lot of concern. Well, they're firing on all cylinders, obviously Sunday night. So that's a terrifying concept for the rest of the NFL.
You were in Cleveland on Sunday. What was the atmosphere like before the game and as the day played out? What was it like?
Yeah, I mean, it felt bad for Browns fans. I mean, the morning was, you know, huge crowds downtown Cleveland. There are people, they have a lot in downtown. I don't know if you've been to Cleveland, but it's not like the Bills where you're separated, just for the listeners, you know, and you have, you're it's right downtown.
Right.
So parking's a premium. There's a lot called the municipal lot that's like the prime lot that everyone wants to be at. It opens at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning, and people are lining up at 2 p.m. Saturday to get in this lot so they could tailgate for 5-6 hours on Sunday morning. They were going to wait 17 hours to tailgate. The city was totally alive. I mean, I listen to the radios. I'm driving into town, and it's like they're debating, is 9-7 disappointing season? You know, how is the Antonio Brown deal going to affect the Browns in the playoffs? I mean, the level of optimism was so through the roof. And then at 11, with 11:19 left in the fourth quarter, Baker Mayfield threw a pick on a consecutive possessions, and people started leaving the stadium. So it was that quick that you had gone from, you know, we might be able to contend for a Super Bowl and we should win double-digit games, to what an absolute disaster this is. I can't bear to watch anymore. You know, so much hype, and then they were so sloppy. 18 penalties in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the NFL record's 22. I mean, it's almost historically bad. Three picks, five sacks, a safety, bad defense. You know, Odell Beckham Jr. is wearing a wristwatch on the, you know, $300,000 wristwatch in the game. I mean, just everything you don't want to see out of that was going down. So a lot of hype on Cleveland. I feel like they talk about a must win against the Jets.
Yeah.
I thought that was a huge game for Buffalo last week. They got a Monday night, and to me, if Cleveland drops to 0-2, God, Lord knows where that season's going.
Yeah, they'll start freaking out. And I think it's funny. I think last year, wasn't it a night game against the Jets? I think where Mayfield came in for Tyrod Taylor, and that started the change that he eventually, I think he took over from that point.
Yeah, I think that was the spot. And, you know, Mayfield, he did have a lot of picks. He was trying to, like, force ball. I mean, at that point, you're down. I never really mind if guys are getting picked off down two touchdowns, you know, down big in the fourth quarter. It's better than, you know, grinding clock and kicking a useless field goal. But he didn't play well. Nobody played well. You know, the receivers were fine. It's just, they were so sloppy. I mean, just so many penalties. You just wonder, like, did they, you're never going to win a game, 18 penalties. I mean, you just, at one of the Titans' drives are like a 50-yard touchdown drive, and it was 40 yards on penalties. I mean, you're just giving them the field. So some of it was just sloppy, you know, not paying attention, lost their composure, lost their discipline, just everything that you just can't have. And so for a team that walked in and said, basically, put a bullseye on us, they were just not ready for prime time.
We're with Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports on our Western Hotline. You talked about New England a moment ago, and maybe Tennessee could be your answer here, but who were you most impressed with in week one from a team standpoint?
Well, I did get to see Tennessee live, and they were good. They're very disciplined. I thought they, you know, it was a stark contrast on how well coached they were. And, you know, that's a team that's, I think, 9-7 three straight years, and you're kind of waiting for that breakthrough. Indianapolis, I think, will take a little bit of a step back, although I think they're still a pretty decent team. So, I did not get to watch, obviously, I didn't get to watch all the different games in the thing. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to say they're going to be a contender or something. I mean, Dallas obviously looked terrific. The fourth quarter of Arizona was pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
They turned it on. Like, is that not in a 5'10" first round draft pick at QB? Pretty good to come back and tie the Lions, and really almost should have won that game. Late, I think they had the overtime was 15 minutes, not 10. They would have had that. So, obviously, Baltimore looked really, really good. You know, who knows how bad Miami really is. They get New England this week. That could be a bloodbath down there. So, we'll see. It was pretty interesting week. It does sort of sort itself out, though. You know, there's a lot of teams usually are 1-1 after week two. And again, I think Buffalo getting that victory was big. Like, somebody needs to be the second team in the AFC East. And if you can get to that spot, you can get 9 wins, you know, I think a playoff berth would be a huge step for the Bills franchise this year. Even just really contending for that would be a big step. And what I saw was they're more ready to make that jump than the Jets.
On that note, Dan, let me close with this. Let's talk big picture in the AFC. Let's say the Bills end up being second in the AFC East. In terms of the wild card race, some things have happened here. You know, Indianapolis looked to be a playoff team, whether division or wild card. Luck retires. What else? Foles goes down for Jacksonville on opening day. How do you think
– Houston lost.
Houston yeah. loses in New Orleans. Right. How do you think the wild card race will eventually shake out? I mean, who are the Bills, hopefully, going to be contending with in the AFC, factoring in what you've seen with injuries in week one?
Well, I would think it's Houston, and it's someone from the South, and then we'll see about the West. Because I would say this. Jacksonville's got an injury. Indianapolis a little bit down.
Yep.
I'll be interested to see if the Chargers can stay up. They've got to travel. They won, but they're traveling to Detroit this weekend. Huge game for Detroit. That'll be interesting. But, you know, Houston taking the loss. Pittsburgh looked terrible. Cincinnati's not going to be good. Cleveland doesn't look good, right? So there's three in the North. You know, it's 1 week, but the NFL's all about overreacting, so we love to overreact. But certainly is a little different contender and a little thinner contender if we just look at week one results. Now, do I think Houston's going to be a good team? Yeah, I do. I think they're going to be fine. That's a tough loss, and they almost won a really big game winning on the road in New Orleans. But certainly there's a little less competition than maybe I would have thought a week ago for the Bills. And I just think that that's a win, beating the Jets, that will pay some dividends long term. Because if you can get in that spot, look, they're not going to win the division. I don't think that's a real problem. I don't think even the Bills inside their building think they're going to win the division. But if you can get to 9, you get to 10, you're going to get a wild card spot, and that would be really cool for the franchise.
Dan Wetzel with us, Yahoo Sports, and joining us on our Western Hotline. Dan, thanks for giving us some time this morning, and enjoy the rest of the football season.
All right, you too.
803. Appreciate it. Thank you. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. I got a lot of football in today's edition of Bet It or Forget It. Some Bills and some NFL stuff we'll get to. Bet It or Forget It is brought to you by Seneca Poker, inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, the real deal for winners only. So, first up, I'll give you a couple Bills things for better to forget it. John Brown had a big day against the Jets. 7 catches, 123 yards. John Brown will lead the Bills in receiving yards and catches this year. Better to forget it. John Brown, your Bills' leading receiver.
Sure, I'll take that.
Off to a good start. Let's see what I want to do. Oh, one other Bills thing. So, the Bills have, they're 1-0. You know they have the Giants next, they have the Bengals next. The Bills will be 3-0 with the Patriots coming in week 4.
I'm not betting against it. I'm also not betting it.
Well, you have to pick bet it or forget it. You can't push.
Yeah, so I'm not betting it. Oh, so let's forget it. That doesn't mean I'm betting against it.
You're killing my buzz.
It's very important.
The Browns won't make the playoffs. Bet it or forget it. That's my overreaction to week one, possibly. But Browns will not make the playoffs.
I would bet against them making the playoffs. The Ravens are good.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers, don't think, are bad.
Okay.
And the Bengals, it's the reason I didn't bet the previous one. I think the Bengals, they're not a pushover.
Yeah, you almost have to worry about that division now beating the crap out of each other, you know? Because you'd think one team from the second-place team in the West will be in the wild card mix, and I think the second-place team in the South will be in the wild card mix. Now you got to worry about the North and how many of those teams are going to stay alive, so maybe they can all end up going 8-8. Okay, since you mentioned the AFC North, let's stick there. Ravens had an impressive week one. Yes, I know it was Miami. They beat them 59-10. Lamar Jackson had a big day. The Baltimore Ravens will win the AFC North.
If I were to bet, I would bet that.
If you were a betting man, you have free money to play with. If healthy, Antonio Brown. Now, this you can factor in the lawsuit now. If he's healthy, Antonio Brown plays every game the rest of the season for the New England Patriots.
Yes, I would bet that.
Okay. Where else are we going here? Oh, I mentioned I wanted to work Sammy Watkins in. So there's a report this morning. You know, Tyreek Hill got hurt in the game against the Jaguars. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, says Hill's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. In the opener against Jacksonville, Sammy had 9 catches and 198 yards. And with Hill out for 4 to 6 weeks, you'd think Sammy's going to have some serious numbers coming up with Patrick Mahomes. So, better to forget it. This is a two-parter with Sammy Watkins. His career high in catches is 65.
Bet it.
Okay. His career high in yards, 1,047.
Bet it.
Yeah, I kind of figured you'd go with both of those. Those are with the Bills, by the way, if you were just curious about that stuff. He had 9 for 198 in the opener. College football. Syracuse is getting 28 points Saturday night at home against Clemson.
Clemson and give the points.
Oh, you wouldn't. I was going to ask if you'd bet on Syracuse. Hey, the defense, what if it bounces back and it has a strong game and you keep it close, you know, and okay, you're not betting on Syracuse. Okay, well, that was just a thought. And finally, if the Sabres don't win the Cup, you'll root for Carolina to win the Stanley Cup. Bet it or forget it.
Bet it.
I knew. I fixed that one. That was
30-1.
I thought it was 20-1.
It was 30-1. They signed Jake Gardner, who is good, and added to an already good blue line, and made the conference finals last year.
Mm-hmm.
Conference final. They need a goalie. They're good. They're fun. They're good. 30-1.
30-1. That's large odds for a team that was in the playoffs and over the second half of last season at one of the better records in the league.
I ended last year more angry with the Sabres than I was with the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 30-1, I'm on it.
So, you know, that would be, if they won, that would be their second Stanley Cup. Just so you know, they had one earlier. And
if I hit 30-1, they can have as many as they want.
You'll go to the parade.
As many as they want.
Go to the parade and throw money at Sebastian Aho as the car comes by.
Yeah.
Did you see, by the way, and that's better to forget.
I got over Carolina. And it happened last year. Yeah. I'm serious about
that. Well, you enjoyed their celebrations, too.
I like having fun with it,
yeah, right.
Having fun about holding that grudge, but I got over it.
Yeah.
Their celebrations, their bunch of jerk stuff, making Don Cherry mad, making smart moves.
Forgot about the Don Cherry thing. Better forget it, brought to you by Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, the real deal for winners only. Did you see the story about Gardner? That he turned down the Canadians. The Canadians were trying to get Jake Gardner for 3 years, a little over $15 million. So he would have gotten more per year from Montreal, but he got a longer term from Carolina. And actually, it's probably a better spot to go play. I think Carolina would go further than Montreal.
I don't think it's about further. I bet he picked it because he just lived in Toronto and he thought, I don't want that again.
Yeah. Montreal. True.
Montreal, right?
Yeah.
I bet it's a lot nicer.
It's Rive, right?
Not because the city's nicer, but maybe because he thought, I've lived this.
Yeah.
Where, you know, even if you're good, you're ripped apart.
Yeah, the
so
pressure.
I'll go somewhere else.
The pressure of playing in Montreal is can't even imagine what it's like. As I said, I just hear players talk about it. All right, well done. 803-0550
wow.
To join us. That
is
it.
Job well done for betting fake money and not being held to account for wins and losses.
The nice thing about this is it's fake money. You don't have to worry about any of this stuff. Although the Carolina thing was not fake money.
Invested in stock in Carolina at 30-1.
I give you credit, man. I could not enjoy a season with it. Not my teams. I told you how I was freaking out with the Lions the other day, and I had no money on that game. But if I had money, I would just be like cringing in every game. So good for you. I couldn't have that kind of investment.
Maybe this is part of the reason when I tell you I only go for odds that are kind of big.
Yeah, 20
and I don't want 2-1.
Yeah.
Because if you go 2-1, you can't hedge. There's no point. You go 30-1.
Yeah.
If they make the conference final, you can start hedging right away. You know, that's a big enough number.
Yeah,
where
fair enough. Going to
if you stand to make, this is not how much money I'm going to make. If you stand to make $10,000 if a team wins the Stanley Cup, as soon as they get to the Stanley Cup final, boom, cut it in half and hedge it.
Right. Who was it? Wasn't it?
But
the
if
guy
it's on, but if that $10,000 is on a $5,000 bet, you know, it's not quite the same.
Wasn't there a guy? Wasn't a guy who made a ton of money off the Blues winning the Cup?
Yes.
I don't remember if he hedged his bet, though, when he got
he
to the
did
Cubs.
He did
right?
not. He placed a very
all in.
Bad bet,
yeah,
but with great value,
yeah,
and he hit. I saw that Ryan O'Reilly has not watched back the video of Game 7 yet.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I would. Why wouldn't he watch
he
back
He said
the video?
Because the memory is actually too then, fresh. He
oh,
actually
no kidding.
He has the memory still. He remembers it all, and he doesn't want to watch it back.
Really? I would just love to watch it just to sit there and enjoy it. Just sitting in my chair watching it all again. I guess you don't have to if you lived it.
One might say that he certainly loves that game.
Even the
Thank you.
Did you call for it? Or did
I
you
didn't.
Just break, just
I wasn't
reach
sure if it was a rim
one.
Shot or if it was snark.
That's good.
I've been sitting on that for a couple days.
I think that's snark. I think that's snark. No, I think that's a good play. A,
we need more snark cannon, please.
A little punchline.
I saw a comment the other day. I don't know, Marshawn, maybe Torrey Krug, one of the Bruins players, talking about how it still hurts so much to think about Game 7. Having a chance to win the cup, home ice, Game 7, we lose, and... You know, like I, you know, he and they said, whoever
Do you remember
was said,
that game?
Even if we win a cup, I'll still never get over or forget about losing Game 7.
Didn't it come down to Tuukka Rask? Didn't make a save?
He didn't have a good game.
He didn't. No. Needed him to make
right, and he was so
a
good.
Save, and he did
so good for them throughout the course of the playoffs.
Tuukka Rask was also one of those players that hasn't watched back Game 7 yet.
Oh,
but,
I wouldn't. Yeah.
But apparently, he took like a week or two off after the game, and then was right back on the ice for training to start the season. It's insane.
I'd never watch it. I mean, if like I said, if I was a Bruins player, there's no way. I mean, if I was on the Bills, I would have never watched any of those Super Bowls back. But I just thought it was interesting. I think it was Krug. I don't know. But I just thought he said, even if I win a cup, I'll never get over losing Game 7 on home ice to the St. Louis Blues. So that kind of grabbed me.
Hold on. I'm being told. I got to check my sources here. That I'm being told of the Flames odds being very attractive. No, okay. Not at the
not
side
as
I
attractive
use.
As the Carolina not, Hurricanes
well,
odds.
If you got them at good odds, great. I'm seeing them 15-1.
All right. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-552-550. The Bills playing the Giants on Sunday at MetLife Stadium. Not a good start to the season for the Giants as they were beaten up in Dallas 35-17. A lot of storylines, and among them of our interest up here, the Giants' defense was bad. It wasn't supposed to be that good this season anyway, and it was really bad. Their pass defense was bad. They didn't get a pass rush. We talked earlier, this might be a game where, again, like they did against the Jets, the Bills take a pass-heavy approach because of the weaknesses of the New York Giants. We'll delve into that, find out more about the Giants, Saquon Barkley, Eli Manning, some issues at wide receiver. We'll talk to Ralph Acciano from SNY in New York. That is coming up next on WGR.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With this team right now is they always seem like they're going in that direction, but they keep their foot in the deep end at the same time and think that they can compete. And that's how you kind of end up stuck in the middle of nowhere, and I think that's where the Giants are.
Jordan Renan, ESPN NFL Nation reporter on the Giants, as we wait for the Daniel Jones era to begin. There's a better to forget it. Daniel Jones sees the field Sunday.
I'm going to say forget it. I don't think it'll be a huge blowout. I mean, he saw the field in Dallas for, what, I think maybe the last series inside the two-minute warning and threw a few passes. So I'm going to say no, that he wouldn't see the field on Sunday. Question is, when does he start? Because the big debate is already on in the New York media about when to play the kid. It's one of the things we'll get to as we talk about Sunday's opponent, the New York Giants. We are joined on our Western Hotline by Ralph Acciano from SNY, Sportsnet New York. Good morning, Mr. Vacciano. Welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm good, Ralph, because I'm thinking there's a Bills win coming Sunday, but that's why I have you on the show. Let's start. I read your work. Let's start with general thoughts.
Oh,
just
thank you.
You're welcome. Overall, general thoughts on what you saw from the Giants in Dallas on Sunday.
Yeah, they sunk. That's pretty much the best thing I can say about it. They put up some nice yards on offense. I guess that's a positive, but they didn't consistently move the ball. They didn't really do it until it was too late. Their defense, I thought their defense was going to be bad, and I was blown away with how much I overestimated them. There was no semblance of a pass rush. I think that you and I could have probably gained 300 yards. Whichever one of us played quarterback, it wouldn't have mattered because there were guys, I mean, it wasn't just blown coverages and bad play by young corners. They were just guys running all over the field wide open. It was like a big scheme mistake. So I assume the Giants will fix that somehow this weekend, but that was just a hideous, hideous start.
So you said you thought they were going to be bad on defense anyway. Is it a general lack of talent, or what are the issues on that side of the ball?
It's a general lack of talent. And it's also, there's turnover there, so they are sort of transitioning to a younger core. They spent a lot of their draft capital this year on young players that they think eventually they're going to build around. Dexter Lawrence, a defensive tackle, quarterback DeAndre Baker are two first-rounders that they drafted. Neither one of them had much of an impact in that game. Neither one of them played, I think, more than half the game. But they don't have an obvious pass rusher. There's nobody there that scares an opposing defense. The secondary, other than Janoris Jenkins, who is coming off an awful year, isn't really that talented. Their best players last year were Olivier Vernon, who they traded to Cleveland, and Landon Collins, who didn't re-sign, and they really didn't replace them very well.
So let me ask you this. We were talking about, Ralph, the Bills-Jets game. The Bills came out and really went pass heavy because they felt they could attack the Jets there and attack the Jets secondary, specifically the corners. When you look at the Giants defense, listening to what you're saying, we said it earlier, it almost seems like maybe the Bills should stick with a similar game plan to put the ball in the air against the Giants.
Yeah, give the running game a complete week off, and throw as much as possible. Seriously, that's got to be the strategy for everybody against the Giants, because if they do have a strength, it is the run-stopping ability of that front line. Dexter Lawrence, the kid I mentioned, is like 340 pounds, and just a Damon Harrison-like clog in the middle of the defensive line. They have other promising linemen like Dalvin Tomlinson and B.J. Hill, but nobody, if you decide Josh Allen wants to sit back there and pass, there's going to be nobody that's going to pressure him. He can run all he wants because there's nobody who's capable of containing him. And, the receivers, they may not be in the caliber of the Dallas group, but I don't even know if they have to be. Because, again, it wasn't just winning one-on-one matchups. It was so many complete breakdowns that if it's the same thing, the Bills will find receivers open everywhere.
Let's spend a few minutes with you on the offense, and we'll get to Daniel Jones. But how did Eli Manning look in week one?
He looked okay. He threw for 300 yards, which is a little misleading because there was some garbage time yards, not a ton. He was efficient. Didn't do anything to help win the game other than the first drive. He was pretty good, but even that was a big Saquon Barkley run. It's hard to tell whether he was – I don't think he was ignoring deep opportunities. I don't think he has the receiving core to really kind of air it out this year, but I guess the best that can be said about him is he was fine nothing special.
It looks like, and we'll see what happens with Sterling Shepard. If you can give us any insight there, that'd be great. But one of the things you look at, Ralph, when you look at the Giants passing game, is they don't have a lot of options when it comes to receivers, right? They're pretty thin there, especially when you factor in the Golden Tate suspension.
Yeah, absolutely. The Golden Tate suspension, they lost Corey Coleman, a guy that they really had high hopes for this season. He tore his ACL in the summer. Now Sterling Shepard's in the concussion protocol. And usually that means he's going to miss a week. We'll know more when we get to practice today, but I wouldn't count on him for Sunday, which leaves the Giants with Benny Fowler and Cody Latimer and Russell Shepard, and that's not going to scare anyone. They do have Evan Engram at tight end, and he's a difficult guy to cover. I think he's going to have a big year. They also have Saquon Barkley, who's difficult to cover, although the Giants really underused him in their passing game on Sunday. So they have a couple of weapons, but as far as receivers go, you could probably cover them one-on-one with just about anybody and be reasonably fine.
So who would be the go-to person, including Barkley, including Engram, if you had to pick a top target, let's say the Bills would be concerned with in terms of the passing targets, who would it be then?
Yeah, I would think it would be Engram. He may not be the guy that they throw to the most. They're certainly going to target him a lot in clutch situations, two-minute drills, end of the half, end of the game. He's also the most explosive guy down the field. I think that he's got an ability, especially if you can get him in a mismatch, to break a tackle and create something. Now, Barkley obviously is the most dangerous overall player, but they haven't shown a willingness to line him up wide and use him as a receiver. So for him, you're looking at kind of dump-offs out of the backfield screens, and those are definitely dangerous, but for regular pass plays down the field, Evan Engram, the tight end, is the guy to watch.
Ralph, one thing on the O-line before we get to Daniel Jones. You know, the Bills' defensive line had a really good day against the Jets' offensive line the other day. It made life tough on Darnold. I know the O-line's been an issue in previous years with the Giants. How is it this year in terms of the matchup with a good defensive front for the Bills? What's the line look like up front for the Giants?
It's better. There's no doubt about it. You know, they certainly had their struggles against the Cowboys. That's a pretty good defense as well. But they weren't the disaster that they've been in years past. They gave Eli Manning enough time. If he had a stronger game, if receivers had gotten open down the field, there was enough time for him to make things happen. They cleared some holes for Saquon Barkley, although for some reason he only carried 11 times. This is a better offensive line. There's no doubt about it. They'll certainly not perfect. I probably put them in like middle of the pack of the league, but they've been the worst for so many years. That's an improvement.
Barkley only had 17 touches in the game the other day. Would you expect a heavier dose, a heavier workload this Sunday?
Yeah, if they want to win, absolutely. that was inexplicable. And I know that the excuse was and always is, well, that's the way the game played out. The Giants got behind early. But, you know, that's bull, really. They were, even late in the third quarter, there was a series that we debated and broke down here in New York where they were down, I think it was 28-10. They had a chance to make it an 11-point game, and they had third and one from the Dallas 8. They ran their fullback on the first play, or third and two. They ran their fullback on the first play instead of Barkley, and then they called a rollout pass that ended up with a sack and a fumble. So two chances from the 8-yard line on third down, and they don't touch Barkley at all. So, and that's a chance to make it a game. At that point, you're not in a situation where you have to throw it 50 times. So I would think that even though he won't admit it, Pat Shurmur has to know that was a mistake and has to know he's got to get the ball in Barkley's hands.
Ralph, final thing, Daniel Jones. First off, what did you think of him from what you saw? I know he played a little bit at the very end of the game, but what did you think of Daniel Jones in the preseason?
I thought he looked really good. I've seen rookie quarterbacks just look terrible in their first summer, in their first practices. He never did. He looked calm. He looked strong in his decisions and a strong arm, everything you'd want to see. I don't think he's ready to go into a game and throw for 400 yards and make every decision perfectly. I definitely think he has room to grow, but they certainly have to think that their future is in good hands because if you didn't know, you wouldn't have thought he was a rookie out there. You would have thought all summer long that you were looking at a veteran.
Is there a plan, do you think, that the Giants have in their minds in terms of when to change over to Jones? Does it happen at any point this season?
I think it's possible that it does. My understanding of their plan is that it's not like they've got a date in mind. They really somehow believe that they have a shot at the playoffs this year, and they're willing to give Eli Manning every opportunity to make that happen. And, you know, basically the way it was explained to me was, if it gets to the point in the season where they think Eli just is not playing well and he can't do it anymore, or more likely, they're just out of it, whether that means mathematically eliminated or they're, 0-5 and they just know that it's not realistic, that's when they would make a change. But as long as there's breath in their playoff chase and breath in Eli Manning, I think they really want to stick with him as long as possible.
All right. Thanks, Ralph. Thanks for the info, sir, and thanks for coming on the show. Always nice to talk to you.
I'm glad I could give you some optimism about the Giants and make everybody feel better about the Bills.
I felt good about the matchup anyway. This just makes it this just drives everything home. So if the Bills don't win, I'll just blame you.
Yeah, exactly. That's fine. I can take it.
you made me feel very good about Sunday's game. So that's a good thing.
You should.
All right, Ralph. Take care, buddy.
All right, you too.
All right, Ralph Vacchiano joining us from Sportsnet New York, SNY, on our West Hur hotline, giving us the rundown on the Giants. We'll have the game for you Sunday from MetLife Stadium. Make sure you start your day bright and early at 8 o'clock with Bills Game Day. Countdown to kickoff at 10 o'clock. It is a 1 o'clock game. Of course, John Murphy and Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio on the call. On the TV side, this is Greg Gumbel, Trent Green, and I forget who the sideline reporter is. I apologize. Post-game show with Shope with the Bulldog and Nate Geary with the overtime show at 6. That is your game day lineup on Sunday here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Quick gambling tweet from David. He tweets in that an $11 Miami-Arizona parlay pays a grand.
This
week. Miami over New England.
Yeah, what's
Arizona over Baltimore.
The
spreads are
19
and 13 and a half.
Man. 19 is a big spread. And Tom Brady and the Patriots don't play well in South Florida. Whose money am I using, yours or mine?
You can use mine.
Okay, take the Dolphins, take the points.
No, it's a straight-up win bet, parlay.
Oh, you got to do both?
Yeah.
And what's the spread in Baltimore, like 13?
13 and a half. And you're not, the spread doesn't matter. It's just outright to win, not to cover.
Oh, forget it. Okay, I thought we were talking points here. Forget it.
Not to cover.
Oh, my God, no. Yeah,
that's $10 to win 1,000.
For that bet, I better give me 10,000 for those guys to both win outright. Arizona to go to Baltimore?
What are you going to do with $10? What else you got going on?
Lunch. Take myself out to lunch. That's $10. I got to keep that. Hey, another day, another Adam Gase story. This one out of New York from the New York Daily News says Adam Gase was never really a big fan of Sam Darnold. Yay! According to the New York Daily News, when Gase was in Miami, it was the worst-kept secret in the Dolphins building that Gase believed that Mayfield was clearly better than Sam Darnold. This according to sources familiar with the situation. In fact, people in the know revealed that Adam Gase had more of an affinity for Josh Allen than Sam Darnold. Apparently, Gase, as I read from the story, Allen grew on Adam Gase during the evaluation process, according to sources. He really got on board the Allen train after the Wyoming quarterback made a private visit to the Dolphins facility. He did not have a private workout with the team. He just made a private visit to the facility. So now the news story in New York is Adam Gase liked Mayfield much better and apparently Allen better than Sam Darnold. Yay! This is going really well in New York. Very, very well. Have fun with that.
I mean, there are some that believe the Bills liked Darnold better than Allen.
Yeah.
Only matters who you draft.
Why would somebody who wants that out the day after, the 2 days after they lose in the opener to Josh Allen and the Bills, that supposed head coach doesn't like Darnold?
Somebody in Miami that doesn't like Adam Gase.
Okay. Because you don't want this coming out of Gase because you've got to be supportive of the kid.
Right.
The
quarterback. Let's play the who wants me to know that game.
Yeah. That's why I was really
someone
curious about this.
Someone who doesn't like Gase
Okay. Or
someone who doesn't like Darnold or.
Maybe someone who doesn't like Gase that was in Miami with him. Sure. Okay. I'll buy that. Because it obviously has to be someone who was involved in the inner workings in Miami that knew what was going on.
A good look into why you never burn an NFL bridge.
Yeah.
You're always friends.
Right.
Everyone's always family.
Right.
Because somebody can air your dirty laundry and, you know, you've got to answer for it.
Because somebody is telling the reporter, boy, yeah, Gase really got on the Allen train after the private visit here in Miami. So it had to be somebody down there with the Dolphins.
What if it's somebody from the Bills? Think about this. It's kind of like cyber warfare, intellectual warfare. Boy, the Jets are really having a tough time of it. Bring, bring. You know what I know? I know that because Gase and I talked about it because they were trying to get a quarterback too. And once, you know, the Bills did trade up ahead of the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Not sure if they were going to take Allen. They didn't end up taking Rosen. And they slip by and they bow out. So maybe they were going to take a quarterback, and that's why the Bills were so aggressive to move ahead of them. And it can be as simple as Brandon Bean. I mean, this is how I would be a GM, which is they're down. I'm going to leak a story to kick them while they're down.
So you're saying
let's make
theory,
his life a little bit tougher.
In theory, if the Bills had their spies out, and if they heard that, say, Miami really liked Mayfield and Allen.
Not even spies. You could have just openly talked about it.
And they found out that they had to make sure they moved up to ensure that they were going to get Josh Allen. They didn't think Mayfield was going to be there probably, right?
They knew Mayfield wasn't.
Darnold was going to the Jets probably.
They saw the Jets. The story about scouting Allen was included the Bills reacting to the Jets trading up and being like, oof.
Yeah.
Ouch.
All right. Because that came at the Senior Bowl. That came
right,
in January.
Right, at the Senior Bowl. Like, yeah, all right, right. Okay. No, that's a wrench in terms of getting the guy that you might
last
want.
Minute of play in the show.
They get Allen. They're happy about it. They moved up in front of Miami. Miami might have liked all three of those guys.
Yeah, right.
And that's why they pass on Rosen. They decide we're not going to go that route.
Well, Lamar Jackson. No, they didn't take him either.
They definitely didn't take Lamar Jackson. Right, so who did they take? Minka Fitzpatrick?
Go look it up.
I mean, it's only 2 years ago. Should we know? Should we know who was taken?
Is he still on the roster, whoever they took?
List of Miami Dolphins first-round draft picks. They took, wrong end of the spectrum here. Yes, Minka Fitzpatrick, okay. 11th overall.
Did I see his
name already in trade rumors or that he wants to?
That's why I said, is there anybody left who hasn't been moved out or isn't available in trade for Miami? That's crazy.
The Dolphins took Tannehill in 2012.
Yeah.
Man, first-round quarterback? Marino in 83.
Yep.
Ooh, and 2012 for Tannehill and no one else. Like, wonder what's gone wrong there.
Instigator's coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.